Welcome to our Agile Best Self Heart to Heart podcast. We hope you enjoy these fun and inspiring conversations. This was such a fun, amazing, interesting, engaging conversation. I want her title of Rebel and Mythbuster. And I also just really love some of the stories that she told about how to find flow and how she was talking about you have two choices. Apathy is a choice and courage is a choice. Both are hard choices and both take a lot of energy. And I absolutely lit up when she described that magic is the space in between the work and how you approach the work. And that's where our Agile Best Self content lives.
I really liked how she talked about intention. And she talked about the big intention of clarity and how she's applying that big intention to reconnect with her North Star. I'm going to let you listen for that. That was an amazing story in and of itself. It was so much fun for me to have Laura in the podcast. She's been in our community almost since the beginning. And there's a story behind that where she and I had a meeting a few years ago, and she shared with me her North Star. And I knew immediately she really connected to what we were talking about. And ever since then, she's someone that I've gone to frequently to get inspired and share new ideas and just have this amazing in-depth conversation. It was really a blast for me today. So let's take a second and get to know Laura. Laura Madsen isn't shy about her dislike for formal bios. To her, they tend to come across as stuffy and disingenuous, two things Laura is absolutely not. That said, she'd be selling herself short if you knew nothing of her wealth of experience from 20 plus years in data and analytics, authoring books on data governance and healthcare analytics, impassioned speeches about innovation, data governance, and the value of data in healthcare. But what's really important to know is that Laura spends her days helping you build programs that align with the aspirational vision of today's modern companies with the less than glamorous work of data management. Laura co-founded the Minneapolis-based consulting firm Via Gurus to converge two of her biggest passions, helping companies define and execute successful data strategies and radically changing the status quo. Welcome to the Agile Best Self Heart to Heart podcast. Today we have with us Laura Madsen. And Laura, welcome. And we're really excited to have you here.
Well, thanks, Brian. I am thrilled to be here.
But I go to your LinkedIn profile and it says you're an advisor, consultant, data interpreter, data and analytic team builder, rebel, and myth buster. What's that mean?
What does that mean? Good question. I think most importantly, at least from my perspective and how I approach the world, is the last two, Rebel and Mythbuster. Very early on in my career, before I met you, Brian, I actually was given the moniker of Rebel Rouser. And in many respects, one of the things I really enjoy doing is poking the bear and asking difficult questions. And if for no other reason than to get people to be the shock value and to get people to think about things a little bit differently. So I do advise and I do consult, and I've spent 20 years in data and building data programs, but my magic sauce, as it were, would be that aspect of it, the rebelliousness and the myth busting aspect of it.
Talk, if you would, a little bit about the things you do in sort of the data space right now that I've come to know you for.
Well, I've done a little bit of everything, honestly. You know, I started out many years ago in the back-end data side of the world as a data analyst. And it was one of my favorite things to do, put on headphones and bang away at the data all day long. And it had very much appealed to my introverted nature. But fast forward a number of years, and I've built programs and led them and managed them. And a couple of years ago in my, you know, trajectory towards, how shall I put this? I went rogue during that phase where I went rogue. I started doing research on my industry, on the data industry, because I'd been in it for so long. And I kind of needed to step back almost and do a relatively objective assessment of what's happened in that space. Because when you do something for so long, you kind of put your head down and you forget all the subjectivity and the context and what's happening. And part of that assessment was very specifically looked at data governance as an aspect of data programs that has failed us really for many organizations catastrophically. And, you know, because I'm a little bit of a masochistic person, I decided I needed to help solve for that. So I wrote the book Disrupting Data Governance and dove deep into, you know, how can we take the construct and what was good about what was initially constructed in the late 90s and apply it to, you know, this incredibly fast-paced environment that the data industry is now.
Laura, I've read Disrupting Data Governance, A Call to Action, and it was a really fine piece of work. And so congratulations on that, first of all. But in that book, you tell a story about how agile methods that Mikkel and I are really interested in came into your world and kind of played a significant role, I think, in shaping your work. Can you tell us a little bit about that story and how that happened?
It's a story near and dear actually to me and really a lot of what's happened to me in the subsequent probably 5 years, 6 years, I don't know, all blends. Many years ago, as I was working in my last organization, knew I needed some help. And one of the things I really wanted to investigate as we were taking on this big new project was to explore agile methods. Knowing full well at the time that traditional project management just didn't speak to my heart. and I laughed because, my gosh, who could? So what I did, just simple, right, is I think I Googled Agile Coach Minneapolis, something simple like that. And DevJam came up. And I went to their website. And of course, for folks that are in Minneapolis, right, DevJam was the place, right, in the Agile community in the Twin Cities. And their website came up and I hit the contact us and I filled out this form. And I thought, I'm never going to get, you know, like you normally, like you never get the phone call back, right? So not only did I got a phone call, I got an email from David Hussman, right, the guy that founded DevJam. And a day later, I was sitting across the table from him, and his approach to certainly the agile methods, but life in general, which honestly is so complementary to agile best self, just changed everything for me. Changed everything for me. And David, as an individual, was an incredibly inspirational person, right? And so, one of the core things that I learned from David is that process for process sake has no value, right? And agility is about removing all the extraneous layers so that you can deliver value to your organization. And he said it so much more eloquently than I ever could. But that spoke to my heart. And so I joke, you know, like, oh, waterfall methods and project management never spoke to my heart, because it always felt like flaming hoops. It always felt like, you know, the best you could hope for is to escape it slightly singed, but you were never going to actually achieve anything. other than proving that you were busy. Whereas David had this, you know, sort of eloquent, like, yeah, the work is the work, you know, we're going to figure it out. We're going to do it together. And here's all these methods, you know, and it was just like, oh my gosh. So yeah, you know, we lost David a couple of years ago, and but he still has just made an indelible impression on me and how I approach the work, how I approach life as a result.
In Agile Best Self, we talk about this concept of a North Star. And so if you think of the North Star as a word or phrase that sort of describes how you see the world, do you have such a word or phrase? And if so, could you tell us sort of the story a little bit behind it?
I do have a word or a phrase. One that, you know, in the last probably year I have felt very disconnected from, which is probably another topic, but so my phrase is no more lost potential. And how I came to it, you know, I wish I could tell you, other than it is something that has driven me for so very long, without me even articulating what it was. But it really comes down to, there are so many, you know, women, but also, you know, women of color that are not being presented with all the opportunities to shine. And there's very few things that I think are, I don't know, the world is a sad place sometimes, but it's really disheartening to think about what this world could have been if we wouldn't have lost generations and generations and generations of potential, of being told no, of being held back, of so many more things as a result, right? A couple of months ago, I was talking to my dad about my grandmother and my, you know, and she was a school teacher when my dad was growing up, and when she was in her 50s, she went back and got her master's degree at Columbia, right? Which is just crazy. It's, you know, 1960 something, and it's just women didn't do that kind of thing. But my dad said something along the lines of, you know, your grandmother would have loved what you're doing in terms of being, you know, building your own business, because that was just how she thought about the world. But, you know, she was born in the wrong time, and how, like, all other things being equal, how is that fair? It's like, it's just shocking, you know? So no more lost potential really drives me, and it drives a lot of what I think about and what I do. And I've definitely lost touch with that in the last year, but that's sort of my North Star.
Lately, Mikkel and I have been focusing a lot of energy on the skill of intention. And when I'm talking about intention, I'm sort of saying the big intention, not today I intend to run around the block. We're talking about the big intention. 2021 for you, Laura, is the year of blank.
So 2021 is the year of clarity. And it's different than intention specifically, because I think I have intention, no more lost potential. I have become very disengaged from that, and it's been, as a result, I've felt it, you know, like I've felt it tangibly, in my day to day. And the more I become disconnected from it, the more apathetic I feel. And it's been a difficult, you know, it's been a difficult year, obviously. Like, hello, Captain Obvious, right? It's like understatement of the century. But it's been a very difficult year in that, as I have become unhinged from that no more lost potential, I, you know, you don't have anything to like guide yourself with anymore. It's like the box on the backboard of a basketball, you know, the basketball backboard, right? You look for that little square. I'm not a I'm not an athlete by any stretch of the imagination, but I remember that from Phi Ed, right? You look for the square. You have to look to where you're aiming. Like, that's the whole point. And, you know, as of course 2020 started, I had this sort of, this how I'm approaching this work. This is what I'm building. This is why I'm doing this. And then of course the whole thing, you know, just blew up. And then it was very much heads down. And it felt, I think it felt really luxurious to talk about something like No More Lost Potential in a year where the world felt like it was fraying at the seams. And so I put my head down, I buried myself in the sand, and I just like everybody else, right, really tried to survive. And you know, I'm very fortunate. Like, I'm insanely fortunate and very, very lucky. You know, I was able to focus on self-care, and I was able to, you know, I kept my job. My husband kept his job. Nobody in my direct family got sick. I'm insanely fortunate. It still doesn't mean that people don't have stress in their lives. And as 2020 came to an end, and very specifically when 2021 started, I could feel how unconnected I had become. And I think, you know, I'd shared with you a while ago, Brian, that it felt like in Finding Nemo, when he's trying to get to Australia, Sydney, I think, when the dad was trying to find Nemo, and he was trying to get on the East Australian Current, right? And he finds the turtle crush. And I felt like that, right? When I'm in my No More Lost Potential, and I'm the eye on the ball kind of a thing, and I'm really, really running with it, I feel like I'm in the middle of that East Australian Current, you know? Eye on the ball, got my, you know, I'm in the zone, whatever analogy you want to use. But the funny thing is that as you get further away from that, there's this moment where everything kind of shifts and it feels really, really uncomfortable. And then you get spat out of either side. And then there's this apathetic aspect to it, right? So it's like when you're outside, when I'm outside of my No More Lost Potential, my North Star, there's an apathy that weighs me down. And then when I start to push forward, it's almost like the world is in that, you know, just outside of that current telling you, oh, this is gross. Don't, you know, don't stay here. Ew. and you either purposefully have to say, I'm going to stay in this apathetic approach to life, or I'm going to lean in further. And I'm going to step into that current and see where this thing takes me. Both take courage, and both are hard for different reasons. And, you know, I would love to tell you that today, you know, sitting and talking to you, that I'm in the middle of that East Australian Current. But no, I'm not. I'm not there yet. And that's why 2021 is my year of clarity.
Thanks for reminding me of that that analogy. It stayed with me for a little while, but it's been a few weeks since we spoke about that. So thanks for that. And the other thing I thought about, too, when you're kind of getting that outside place, there's sort of a time element, right? Because it's almost like you're in this suspended animation, mm-hmm. where everything is sort of really slow, and it takes an incredible amount of energy to even approach that current again.
Yes.
And then it takes, yes. I think, takes incredible grit to, you know, to bust through it.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a apt analogy. Yeah. I just really love it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really important for people to recognize and hear and see that, because it's so easy to want to stay outside of it. And especially when you get spat out, you know, when you think that you're doing all the right things and then you still end up outside of it, right? I think that's really important for all of us to give ourselves a little bit of grace as we make those transitions.
So now let's turn a little bit more directly into the Agile Best Self world. And you've been familiar with our work for a while now. How do you think it can help others?
you know, who doesn't love an 11 steps, 12 steps? Who doesn't love a 12 step program? I have it behind me, by the way. And I joke a little bit, right? You know, obviously the principles are well known, but, you know, there's a lot of acknowledgement in the consulting world that if you can break anything down into steps, right, you can solve anybody's problem. And so taking that approach and really applying it to a person's journey and acknowledging that there is a symbiosis between you yourself as an individual and how you approach the work, and then the work, right? And the magic is the space in between, just like in music, right? The magic is the silence between the notes. The magic is how you approach the work and then the work itself. It's that space in between. And you know, you guys with the Agile Best Self have better, probably better than anybody else I know, have given room for that space in between. And there's a lot of magic there for sure.
So where do you think Agile Best Self should go from here? Here we are in 2021, hopefully coming out of a pandemic soon, perhaps?
It's a really interesting question, right? Because you guys have a tiger by the tail. Because I think the world is yours at this point. So the one, you know, as I've read these over the past couple of years, as you've made this, as you've built your community, and every time I read them differently, right? It's like that book that you love that every time you read it differently. Every time I read these differently. And, you know, initially when I read them through like the first time a couple of years ago, I was like, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Self-care, but okay. Yeah. and now, you know, like principle number 7, right? Investing time in yourself is the primary measure of progress. If there was any way to encapsulate how we all can emerge from 2021 as a whole being and not letting what we have survived change us, except for the way we want it to, that's it. Right? That's it. That's principle number 7. And removing this idea that productivity is like your value comes from your productivity. You know, that to me is such a destructive way to think about the world and how you approach everything, but particularly right now. And so just this idea that you spending time on yourself is the how you measure success is, you know, I think could really be life-changing for a lot of people. To me, principle 7 is really, really powerful. But all of them are really great. And so to me, you could really do just about anything with it because it has all of the things that it needs to be able to, anybody can pick it up and be like, I got this, I can do this. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
What would you like the Agile Best Self community to know about your work, Laura? And in other words, this is your time to talk about whatever you like and share a little bit more about you and what you're doing.
I help organizations take better advantage of their data, right? And for a really long time, I did that in the space of data analytics. But over the years where I've transitioned now is really in that leadership space. And one of my favorite things to do, quite honestly, is take, you know, a data program as a whole. So data program sounds like code, but I mean like the function of data in an organization that is maybe not, you know, hasn't done what you thought it would, or hasn't provided the value, and I come in and I fix it. I really enjoy doing that. But very specifically, I do a lot of that around data governance programs now because of the book. And it's the same kind of a deal, right? I have a number of multi-step programs that I use to help organizations make those transitions and just become better at data governance and taking advantage of their data in general. Because there's a lot of opportunity for improvement in the world of data. And I really, like, as far as how I approach the work, right? One of the things I really want to be able to do is come into an organization and make the people that work for that organization rock stars. I have no interest in becoming an adjunct employee. I just want to come in and help and give them all the knowledge that I have. And then I would like to leave because one of the things that I love about my job is the variety. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Laura, thanks again for being on the Agile Best Self Heart to Heart podcast today. It was a blast to learn from you, and I appreciate you sharing your insights.
Thanks for having me, Brian. It was awesome.
For more information about Laura's book, Disrupting Data Governance, check out the episode page on agilebestself.com, where you'll find additional inspiring content. Also, if you'd like to engage with our like-hearted community, search for Agile Best Self on LinkedIn, and we hope to see you there soon.